Let's join hands on the love train. Those were the OJs on your radio, friend. Your radio station of love on a throwback Thursday morning. Glenn Klein in the studio. It is 10 minutes until 10 o'clock. He is the intermediator from Nacogdoches, Texas. Please welcome back to WRJN, Mr. Chris Harrington. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing today?
I have no complaints, but thank you for caring enough to ask. How are you?
All right. Awesome. It's a wonderful day in America.
In America?
In America.
Right. I'll tell you, there's very good news all the time.
Okay.
Here's some good news. Two, count them, two transgender people won primaries to become congresspeople. They're both named Misty. Misty K. Snow is a 30-year-old grocery store cashier. And she won the Democratic primary in, believe it or not, Salt Lake City in Utah.
Well, human beings are wonderful at multitasking. They can have private lives and public lives.
She won primary to run for the U.S. Senate. And then a 33-year-old IT worker named Misty Plowright. I wonder if that's her real name. Plowright. Interesting name. A single dad and an Iraqi combat veteran. He's going to challenge Republican Doug Lamborn in Colorado.
Okay.
That's good stuff.
It is good stuff, but I always see it as human beings vying against other human beings, regardless of their vessel that they're in.
Yeah, of course.
Does that make sense? People.
But just the fact that more and more beautiful humans around the country are considering these two Misties.
Sure.
As viable candidates and who are known transgender people, this
right.
is huge progress.
Right.
We always want to talk about the negative and focus on the negative. Of course, in the media, the famous phrase is, if it bleeds, it leads. There's something about the human psyche that wants to tap in to the negative aspect of life. But there's so much good stuff happening all the time, and the information that we take into our brains affects our emotions tremendously. And during the information age that we're in right now, it's even more imperative to take on good thoughts and positive thoughts and to join the love train, if you will,
sure.
Because the things that are happening negatively in the world and the way the media does report them has a disproportionate effect on our psyches.
People do like to push and pull and tug and generate energy. You know, it's if you're a stockbroker, you want people, whether it's good news or bad news, what you want is for people to buy and sell. Doesn't matter what direction it is, you're going to make money either way. So if you're selling newspapers or ad, you know, it's about generating a look. And whatever it takes to do that, that's your business.
You know, it used to be years ago that, for example, the terrorist attack in Istanbul a couple
sure.
days ago, we would not even have known about that. And now now it seems like it's happening in our backyard.
Right.
And so it's not what is happening that affects us emotionally and psychologically. It's knowing what is happening. I have six children, and as far as I know, right now, they're all alive. I feel like they're alive. I feel
sure.
happy about them. But God forbid, one of them might not be right now. I just don't know about it. So the information that we take in is critical in our ability to focus and to function on the planet, isn't it?
I think that's very true. And at the same time, what that really points out is that we assume a great deal and that our ignorance both saves us from a tremendous amount of irrelevance and at the same time puts us in a position where we're very much at risk of learning the truth. I'll give you an example. If you are able to look outside, you can see it's a bright, shiny day down here in the south. And if I ask someone to look out the window and I ask them, is the sun shining right now? They would say, well, of course, I'm looking at it, right? They're not looking right at it. They're looking at it 93 million miles away. But in 8 minutes, the light that's at the sun will finally reach the earth. And my question will be then, are you absolutely sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it's impossible that the sun blew up in the 8 minutes from now, you'll find that there's no more light. Well, no, I don't know that. So is the sun shining right now? I don't know. You know, there's an insecurity in asking these questions, and for a lot of people, that's just scary business.
Why do people, generally speaking, focus on the negative?
We're visiting this again. I think it's a lot in the news, but I think that it's the fox is guarding the hen house. And what happens is that there's, generally speaking, in the media and in politics and in all of our institutions, there's a vested interest in our needing, our feeling the absolute need to attend to whatever it is that they're talking about. And if you say everything's going okay, people bliss out. But if you say, oh, my God, there's an emergency or there's a tidal wave or there's a something coming or there's a bubble of some kind, people are like, oh, my gosh, now they pay attention, and they're all about whatever you have to say. So I think that it's a way of generating that buzz.
He is the intermediator. He's Chris Harrington from Nacogdoches, Texas, on this Throwback Thursday morning. This is Glenn Klein on Community Conversations on WRJN. I think it speaks to our inherent insecurity, that we all, for whatever reason, want to validate what we're afraid of. And we really are afraid that things are not going to go well. And so when we focus on the negative, that often reinforces our own inner fears.
Let's see. I think I can bite on that. I have to chew it just a little bit. But I think that we were talking about the ego a couple of visits ago, and I think one thing that the ego says, just like any stockbroker, if it's good news or bad news, it still proves that I'm here.
Mm.
So if you're fighting me or if you're agreeing with me, it's still me. Me both directions. And so there's not a zero point of ego. There's a, you know, I'm a problem or I'm a solution, but I still exist. And I think that's part of the process. People like to be winners and they hate to be losers, but both of those are positions that prove that you exist.
I think it's one of the reasons that reality television shows are so popular, because mm-hmm. you see these people with really messed up lives and it reminds folks that, you know what, I might be messed up too, but I'm not that bad.
Right. Well, I think they stacked the deck, though. I heard that on one of the very popular shows on TV that they group these people together and they find out specific things about their personalities, for example, that they need psychotropic drugs in order to keep their wits about them. And then they make them go some distance without their helpful drugs, and then they lose it during the TV program. And so you end up with people who go bonkers or whatever, and that's a professional term, I'm sure. And so what happens is that it makes for really good TV because people are extremely interactive and they're very overt in their expression.
We have
they pick it out. They stack the deck for that reason.
We have a major political party's candidate for the nomination for president of the United
right.
States of America who may be off his meds right now.
Who would that be?
Donald J. Trump. Have you ever seen a major political figure who is manifesting serious mental incapacity almost all the time? More than him.
I still see that. I know I play the devil's advocate a lot, but I still see the possibility that he has a tremendous ad campaign going to keep things agitated and in the news. I mean, it's well known that he's gotten over $3 billion worth of free media advertising. Whatever it took to get there, his name is in the news worldwide.
Oh, I'm not saying that he doesn't have a purpose or a method to his madness. I'm just saying it's
right.
madness. And the fact that a significant percentage of the American political class has bought into it, to me, is absolutely incredible.
Well, it might be extremely good self-marketing.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that you talk about focusing on the negative and focusing on anger and focusing on the
right.
problems. That is how he has risen to political prominence.
Right. And, you know, if you look on MTV, you can see programs that focus on, you know, tricking people, making them look silly. There are a series of movies that, you know, show that, you know, if you really do horrible things to people, people will buy tickets to see the movie just to see them, you know, in a bad way. You can see YouTube videos all day long of people doing stuff. Funniest home videos, half of them are somebody getting, as you were talking about earlier, somebody getting a shot in the nether regions. And so it's like...
That's true.
You know, this is what we focus on. Even you are focusing on that.
Well, I mean, it's funny.
All the millions of possibilities, and that one came up. Why? You know?
Because it's hilarious. That's why.
Subconsciously, I think that humiliation is a hot topic for us as a species, but as Americans, it seems to be a... like almost a way of life.
He's Chris Harrington. He's the intermediator from Texas this morning. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. All right, so for the beautiful humans out there who are saying, you know what, I hear what you're saying. There's a natural tendency in me and in people in general to focus on the negative, but I don't want to. I want to focus on the positive. What's one step that somebody can make this morning in order to start doing that in their own lives?
Well, you can start really tracking the numbers. I think a couple of things I've talked about before. You know, go online and check every side of the issue. Don't just take it from one resource. What you'll find is that that resource is the fox that guards the henhouse. It has a vested interest in coming to that conclusion. And it will work desperately, like Kepler, to find a way to make things switch around in order to get to where it wants to go. But if you look around, I think that you'll find that there are alternative ways of looking at things. And when you have real information, like when they're covering these news things, I don't get up out of my chair, go and buy an airplane ticket, and go to that place where there's this or that going on. I depend on the news that's coming in. So if I only have one facet of that news, only one view of that news, then I'm dependent completely on that. Whereas if I watch all the channels, which people don't really have time to watch all of it, but you know, if instead of being absolutely selective and looking at it from just one point of view, I need to see several points of view.
So, what
and a good example, okay, would be something like if you look at the number of people that we're dealing with in each of these cases, like. Say, for example, something simplistic, like when I was teaching school, I asked the kids at school, let's talk about race relations on the planet and start with populations. And I asked the kids generally, all the kids in my classes, how many black people are there, how many white people are? And the one that was the most shocking was how many white people are in the world. The white kids would say you have about 30% of the entire planet is white. I say, okay, interesting. And I look at the black kids and say, well, how many of the people on the planet are white? And they would say, about 70%. And I say, how do you know that? And they say, well, most of the people on TV are white. They must be covering mostly white people because there's mostly white people. And I say, well, so let's look at it. And so we make a pie chart on the wall. And I say, well, cut it in half, that'd be 50%. You cut that in half, that's 25%. You cut that in half, that's 12.5%. And I'd back off a little bit, and I'd get to the reality, which is 9%. And all of them, their mouths would just drop on the ground. They couldn't believe it. But it's because between the media and their access and what they watch the most, the reality is they have a stilted vision of it. And I think if we start with something that's much more realistic, how many gay people are in the United States? All right, about 26 million. How many intersexed people are in the United States? About 160,000. All right? So when you start looking at the numbers like that, it's like, oh, my gosh, how many people with autism? About 2 million. You know, how many transgendered people are there really? If you look at it in terms of the number of people that commit crimes, if you got down to it, how many people who use guns actually successfully are able to defend themselves with their gun versus how many people are, have that gun taken away and used against them? Or how many people, how many homicides of all, how many deaths of all homicides by gun are actually suicides versus protection with a gun where you were successful in using your gun? And if you start looking at, we're really shocked about 42 people dying over in Istanbul, but we're not shocked by 400,000 people a year dying by cigarettes or 50,000 people dying by a car or 80,000 dying in medical malpractice. And so the numbers that are shoved at us are are massaged and given tremendous weight, and yet if you look at it in terms of realistic values, how many people, how many soldiers in the United States are killed every month versus how many commit suicide? Okay, so the reality is that we don't really stack the numbers up in terms of looking at it realistically, because where we focus our attention is where we're being spoon-fed. And essentially, in such a simplistic way, most people face the news like people who face their car. I have a key, I put it in the keyhole, I twist it, the car turns on, and I go. And that's all they know. That's all they're ever going to know about their car. And for them, that's good enough. And other people, like I've got a brother, he takes everything off of his car, he rebuilds the entire thing and puts it all together again, and he loves doing all that stuff. And so anything about his car, if there's a problem with my car, I call my brother. He's awesome about that.
So what the
most people don't have a clue.
So what the intermediator is recommending to you beautiful humans and to your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host this morning is, when it comes to information, have a varied diet.
Exactly.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
Let's get some of that information as WRJN covers the world.
Suicide bombers background, airports on alert. I'm Evan Haining. The death toll from Istanbul's triple suicide attack has risen to 43.